If you have your Bible and would turn to Jeremiah chapter 35, we're going to look at this text this morning for a few moments and think about what it means to our lives today. Jeremiah 35, there is a story about a group of people who are simply called the Rechabites. Who were the Rechabites? It's probably your first question. Well, Moses' father-in-law belonged to a group of people who were known as Kenites. And when Moses brought Israel out of the land of Egypt, they were going through the area where Moses' father-in-law lived. And Moses said, "Why don't you people join us? You people know the way through the wilderness and all of the roads and things like that. And so why don't you join with us?" And so the Kenites joined the Israelites in the wilderness on their way to Mount Sinai. Now, one of the descendants of the Kenites was a man named Rechab. Hence the name the Rechabites. It's named after this man. He had a descendant many, many years later named Jonadab. Jonadab was alive during the time of King Jehu. And there is a story in 2 Kings chapter 10 about how Jonadab and Jehu met each other one time. And then, much, much later, this family still existed in the day of Jeremiah. And this was about 230 years or so after the time of Jonadab. We're talking, roughly speaking, almost 1,000 years after the time of Moses. So this family of Rechabites had a long history. They had been associated with Israel for a long, long time. They had, in fact, joined themselves to the Israelites. And as far as we can tell, they observed the law of Moses and all the things that the Israelites did. Well, in Jeremiah 35 and verse 1, the word of the Lord which came to Jeremiah in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, saying, "Go to the house of the Rechabites and speak to them and bring them into the house of the Lord," that is the temple in Jerusalem, "into one of the chambers," one of the side rooms of the temple, "and give them wine to drink." Jeremiah says in verse 3, "Then I took Jazaniah, the son of Jeremiah, son of Habazaniah, that's a good name, and his brothers and all his sons and the whole house of the Rechabites. And I brought them into the house of the Lord, into the chamber of the sons of Hanah, the son of Igdaliah, the man of God, which was near the chamber of the officials, which was above the chambers of Maaseiah, the son of Shalom, the doorkeeper." So Jeremiah says, this is the specific room in the temple where I brought them. "And I set before the men of the house of the Rechabites pitchers full of wine and cups. And I said to them, 'Drink wine.' But they said, 'We will not drink wine. For Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, commanded us, saying, You shall not drink wine, you or your sons, forever. You shall not build a house, and you shall not sow seed, and you shall not plant a vineyard or own one, but in tents you shall dwell all your days, that you may live many days in the land where you sojourn. We have obeyed the voice of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, in all that he commanded us, not to drink wine all of our days, we, our wives, our sons, and our daughters, nor to build houses for ourselves to dwell in. And we do not have vineyard or field or seed. We have only dwelt in tents, and we have obeyed and have done according to all that Jonadab our father commanded us. They said there is one exception to that in verse 11. When the Babylonian army came up against the land, we said we had better move into Jerusalem. So right now they were living in Jerusalem, but all of their family history up until this point, they had lived in tents out in the fields. And it seems to me that these people have three things that they would teach us. First of all, these people understood what it meant to be faithful to what they had been taught. They refused to drink wine, and they quoted their ancestral teaching. They said, Jeremiah, here's why we're not going to do what you've told us to do. Because our forefather, Jonadab, made this law for us. And he told us that this is the way that our life is going to be, and we have learned that law, and we have kept it. What's interesting in this text is that a form of the word command appears 10 times in this passage, and a form of the word hear or obey appears also 10 times in this passage. The emphasis is on the fact that we have obeyed the commands of our Father. And if you look in verse 13, this is exactly the point that God wanted to make to the people of his day. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah saying, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, God of Israel, go and say to the men of Judah, and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, will you not receive instruction by listening to my words?" Here's a family that knows all about that. Here's a group of people who have listened to what their father told them. God says, "Now, Jeremiah, I want you to go and ask the Israelite, why won't you listen to your father?" It's not a hard thing to do. It's not a complicated idea. Your father said to do something, and you do it. The words of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, which he commanded his sons not to drink of wine, are observed. So they do not drink wine to this day, for they have obeyed their father's command. But I have spoken to you again and again, and you have not listened to me, God says. And I have sent you all my servants, the prophets, sending them again and again, saying, turn now every man from his evil way and amend your deeds and do not go after other gods to worship them. Then you will dwell in the land which I have given you and to your forefathers. But you have not inclined your ear or listened to me. Indeed, the sons of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, have observed the command of their father, which he commanded them. But this people has not listened to me. The point about faithfulness was the lesson that God wanted Israel to see in Jeremiah's day. Israel had become faithless. Their attitude to God was, we're not going to do it. God said to do this, God said to live this way, but we don't want that. We want to do these other things, and that's what we're going to do. God said, why won't you be faithful? Why won't you listen to me? And it seems to me, friends, that not only did a faithless Israel need to see this and be reminded of it, but God's people today need to remember this. And you know what's interesting about this text, if you just kind of look at the picture, they had obviously been taught this in every generation. This is not something that was new to them. This is something that they had been observing for hundreds of years. And each generation in the family of the Rechabites had taught their children, this is what we do, and these are things we don't do. Our father said, this is going to be the way of life, and we're going to stick to it. That's what parents are supposed to do. They're supposed to teach their children the things that are right. I think about what Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1 as he was trying to encourage Timothy to get over whatever it was that was bothering Timothy at the moment and get back to the work. Paul said, I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I'm sure that it's in you as well. Timothy, this is not something new to you. It's not like you just started this and now you're a little bewildered. You grew up with this. That's what the job of parents is, to teach these things to our children. You remember way back in the book of Deuteronomy? That is exactly what God wanted for the Israelites when it came to the law of Moses. In Deuteronomy chapter 6 and in verse 7, God says, you shall teach these words diligently to your sons. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand. They shall be as frontals on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. I want my law to be in front of you and in your ears all the time. Fill your families with it, God said. In chapter 11, in verse 19, he says the same thing again. That's what the Rechabites had done. And the fact is, that's what we need to be doing as well. You know, every generation is responsible not only to pass the word of God on to their children, but there's another part of that too. Every generation has the responsibility to learn it. You remember what was going on in the book of Hebrews in chapter 5? The recipients of that letter had kind of given up in their hearts and in their minds. They weren't sure if they wanted to go on. I'm not sure if I want to be a Christian anymore. You know, this is getting to be kind of difficult, they thought. And the author writes the book of Hebrews to tell them about a character in the Old Testament named Melchizedek. And I think their first reaction was kind of, what in the world does some obscure character in Genesis chapter 14 have to do with the fact that my life as a Christian is difficult? And the author says in Hebrews chapter 5, well, if you had learned a little bit more about the Bible, maybe you'd know the answer to that question. He says concerning Melchizedek, he's all about Jesus. And concerning him, we have much to say, and it's hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God, and you've come to need milk and not solid food. You should have learned this by now, the author says, but you haven't. And the fact that you haven't learned it is why you're so in such a difficult situation right now. If you had learned these things, the author says, you wouldn't be questioning your faith. You wouldn't be questioning, should I go on or should I quit? You'd never want to quit if you understood what has happened here. See, the Rechabites had taught their children. And their children had learned it. And then they taught their children. And they had learned that and they had passed it on. And that's the way it's supposed to be. That we're supposed to take the things that we have received from God through our parents and we're supposed to teach them to our children. And they have the responsibility in their generation to learn it. Let me ask the young people in the audience, have you learned it yet? You need to know it. This is not just mom and dad's religion. This is not just going to church. You need to know this stuff. Your life depends on it. Your eternal destiny depends on this stuff. You need to fill yourselves up with it. The fact is that we are supposed to be a people who are defined by our obedience to our Father. And I look at the Rechabites and I see a group of people who understood that point, that we do what our Father says. That's what God was saying to Israel, that I'm your Father and you need to do what I say. You need to be like the Rechabites and learn this simple lesson. But there's a second thing that the Rechabites teach us. They were dedicated to maintaining the original way of life that God had taught them. You know, their ancestor had taught them not only, we're not going to drink wine, but he had also taught them, we're not going to live in houses. That's going to be the rule for the Rechabites. No houses. You're not going to own farms or seeds or vineyards or olive trees or things like that. You're just going to live in tents. like the Israelites did in the wilderness. Now, you might say, well, was it against the law of Moses for Israelites to live in houses? No, it wasn't. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, God makes it very clear to the Israelites that I'm going to take you into the land of Israel and you will there live in houses. Houses that have already been built. You're not even going to have to build them. You're just going to live in the houses that other people have built for you. So no, it was not wrong to live in a house. But here is what Jonadab, I think, saw. You know, Jonadab, I get the impression, was a wise man. Because he understood that with that way of life, living in Jerusalem, living in those fine houses, came materialism and worldliness. And I believe that Jonadab could see what was going to happen. He looked around at the situation in the time of Jehu and said, I see what's going on here, that Israel is just getting more and more worldly all the time. That all they care about are their houses and their gold and their silver and their ivory and all of these other things. And so Jonadab said, tell you what, folks, our family's not going to be part of that. We're not going to live in houses. We're all going to live in tents out in the fields, and we're not going to do what other people do. Their ancestor had decided that he did not want his family participating in that kind of worldliness. And therefore, he said, we're going to live the way that it was in the beginning. When Israel first came out of the land of Egypt, and they didn't have anything, and they just relied on God to take care of them from day to day. That's the way that we're going to live. We're going to live the old way, the original way. You remember John the Baptist? It says in Mark chapter 1 and verse 6 that John the Baptist came preaching a baptism of repentance. And his garments were made out of camel's hair, and he had a leather belt tied around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. Let me tell you, from what we know from archaeology and history, that that's not the way people dressed in John's day, and it's not the food they ate either. People ate fish, and they ate lamb, and they ate vegetables, and they ate bananas, and things like that, and they certainly didn't wear camel's hair clothing. They had the nice stuff that had been made on the looms and made out of flax and wool and things like that. Why wouldn't John wear the clothing that other people wore? Why did John not eat the food that other people ate? Jesus commented on that in Luke 7 and verse 25. He said, when John the Baptist came, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Somebody that looked like you, somebody that was going to pat you on the back and say, everything's fine, just keep on what you're doing. No, the fact is that John did not live in the cities. He did not wear the clothes that other people wore. He did not eat the food that other people ate, because John's life was a protest against the world of his day. John came saying, I'm not going to be like you. I'm not going to live your life. I'm not going to participate in it with you. And that's the way that Jonadab had taught his family. He could see the way the world was going. He could see the way that Israel was going. And he said, we are not going to be part of it, friends. As for my family, that's not going to be us. And oh, I'm sure that they must have seemed backwards in their day. People would go down the road and see tents and say, who are those folks? Oh, they're the Rechabites. They don't think they should live in houses like normal people. But you know what? The Rechabites didn't care. Just like we shouldn't care if we fit in with this world or not. Peter says in 1 Peter 4 and verse 4, the time past is already sufficient for you to have carried out the desire of the Gentiles. And now he says in verse 4, they are surprised that you do not run with them into the same excess behavior, and they malign you. Hey, what's the matter with you? Why won't you go? Why won't you do this? Why won't you participate? Why won't you come with us? You think you're too good for us? You think you're holier than us? You know the words. That's the way the Rechabites were in their day. Why won't you guys do what everybody else does? Friends, like the Rechabites, our lives ought to be a living protest against the society around us. We need to make it clear to the world that maybe we live in the same society. Maybe we have to do business in the same world as everybody else, but we're not like the rest of the world. In Jeremiah chapter 6 and in verse 16, thus says the Lord, stand by the ways and see and ask for the ancient paths where the good way is and walk in it, and then you will find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. Oh God, we don't want to live that old way. We want to live in the modern world. We want to have the houses. We want to have all of the stuff that everybody else has got. Not the Rechabites. And by refusing to live like the rest of Israel, they were maintaining the mentality of sojourners. Peter says that in 1 Peter chapter 2, I think it is, somewhere around verse 11 or 12. As aliens and sojourners, think that way of yourselves in this world, that you are a people whose home is not this world. Friends, that's the way we are. Our home is not here. My home is not here. I'm here for now, but I'm not going to be here long, and I'm certainly not going to be here forever. Paul said to the Philippians, your citizenship is in heaven. That's where your name is written. That's where your citizenship belongs. That's your homeland. So don't get too attached to the things down here, and don't get all muddied with the stuff down here in the world. Keep yourself clean. Keep yourself separate so that you can go to that place when the time comes. The Rechabites understood living the original way. They were restorationists, as it were. But there's a third thing that they teach us. Their faithfulness had lasted several generations without alteration. You know, it's not like Jonadab said, well, our family's not going to live wine, and our family is going to live in tents, and that 100 years later they said, well, now we're going to have to rethink all this stuff. Because you know what, that wine is pretty good stuff, and you know, maybe there might not be something wrong with building a little shed out next to the tent and doing something in there. They didn't change anything. They were living the way that their ancestors had lived hundreds of years ago. Now what's interesting, of course, is that the fact is that times change and culture changes with it, and that was true in the ancient world. Times had changed since the time of Jonadab. It had been 230 years now that Jeremiah comes later and talks to them. But 230 years had not changed a thing with these people. And the fact is that as God's people, we have to make sure that we don't change fundamentally who we are, or change our commitment to God's way of life. In Ephesians chapter 2 and in verse 10, the Apostle Paul says that God has always planned the way He wants us to live. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Just like Jonadab had a family and said, this is the way it's going to be, God has a family and He has prepared the way that He wants us to live. Paul told the elders at the church at Ephesus, be on your guard, Acts 20, because after my departure, savage wolves will enter in among the flock, not sparing the flock. Some even from among your own selves will be speaking perverse things to lead the souls of the saints astray. Paul said in 1 Timothy 4, verse 1, that in the latter times deception will come. Men will listen to deceptive doctrines and doctrines of demons, and they will depart from the faith, Timothy. Every generation has to ask the question, are we going to follow God's way or are we going to change it? And, let us add, we've got to examine, have there been changes made that maybe crept in unawares where we need to move backwards and go back to the way it's supposed to be? That's the job of every generation. And to their credit, the Rechabites hadn't changed a thing. They're kind of like what Joshua had said in Joshua 24. Remember Joshua's final words to Israel? He said, now, I'm going to go on. My time is short. I'm going to be dead soon. But you folks that are now the new generation, you've got a choice to make. And you can decide to be idolaters like your forefathers were back when they lived back beyond the river. Or you can decide that you're going to follow the way of God. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord, Joshua said. We're not going to change a thing. Somewhere along the line, somebody changed something, though, didn't they? Because in Jeremiah's day, the people certainly weren't worshiping God the way they were supposed to. They were worshiping idols. And they weren't doing the things like taking care of the poor and the widows. They were neglecting those things. The Sabbath day, oh, forget the Sabbath. Everybody worked on the Sabbath in Jeremiah's day. And Jeremiah simply came and said, we should get back to the way it's supposed to be. Amid the many changes of over 200 years, the Rechabites had taken a stand. They had not become like the world around them. And, you know, the sad part about that story is that the wicked world around them was Israelites. If you could get into a time machine and go back to the time of Jeremiah, and you just landed someplace that you didn't know, let me ask you, how could you know whether or not you had landed in Israel or if you had landed in some pagan country? By looking around at all the things that you would see, how could you tell that you were in Israel and not in Moab or someplace like that? The answer is that you couldn't. Because Israel looked just like the pagans. They worshiped the pagan gods, they followed the pagan ways, and they had all the things that the pagans desired for themselves. The Rechabites said, we are not going to be that way. And let me ask you this, while we're talking about lasting several generations, do churches have to fade away and disappear? I know of several congregations that I visited when I was a child that are not there anymore. They're just gone. They closed up the doors, sold the property, and they're gone. And we sometimes say, well, that's just the way it is. That's the way it happens. But does it have to be that way? What about the Palmetto Church of Christ? I guess this church is something like 70, 75 years old, maybe closer to 80 years old. Will there be one here another 80 years from now? I think most people say, well, that might be a stretch. That might be a hard thing to imagine. Why? Is it possible for a local group of God's people to remain faithful for generation after generation? Absolutely. But you see, it takes a kind of commitment on our part that we're going to pass that on and that our children are going to pick it up and they're going to do it and then they're going to pass it on. It is the Rechabites had done that very thing. It can be done. In conclusion, may we have the spirit of these people within us. May we take a stand like they did and follow the way of God. Would you pray with me, please?